climbs in my lap for a good night hug. He calls me dad and I call him bud. With his faded old pillow and a bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and says, I wanna be like you. I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turn out the light. And I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see he's got a father in God, 'cause he's seen Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can be. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. I've got to admit, I've got so far to go. Make so many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems, no matter how hard I try, with all the pressures in life, I just can't get it all right. But I'm trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, filled with your tenderness. 'Cause I know that he'll learn from the things that he sees, and the Jesus he finds will be the Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can be. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Right now, from where he stands, I may seem mighty tall, but it's only 'cause I'm learning from the best father of them all. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. Be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Lord, I want to be just like you, he wants to be like me.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. I appreciate that. Would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word this morning, if you would please, and turn in the scripture to Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm going to be reading from verse 5 and 6 this morning. If you do not have a copy of the Word of God, you're welcome to use. There should be one under the chair, under the seat, right in front of you. You're welcome to use that while you're here. We just ask that you would return it to its rightful place when you're done with it this morning. So Proverbs chapter number 3, I want to begin to read in verse number 5. The writer of the book of Proverbs writes, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, we ask, dear God, that the hearer might be attentive, that the Holy Spirit might open our ears spiritually dear God, that we would hear what it is that you want to speak to us about from your word. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would fill me today. Help me to preach this message. We ask this in Jesus' name. And if there's anybody within the sound of my voice today who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, dear God, that they might know, come to know him today in fullness of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much and be seated. I want to speak to you on the topic this morning, requirements of a father. Requirements of a father. Now, certainly we don't have time to list the many requirements that God might have for us. And so I would like to narrow it down to three requirements that God has for every father. And so I want to challenge you, Dad, this morning to listen to and to hear about what we have to say about this. The first challenge that I want to present to you this morning, Dad, is this. The first requirement of a father is to be a believer. That is the first requirement. If you miss this aspect, nothing else matters. Do not miss this requirement. What should a father be? A father should be a Christian. He should be letting Jesus Christ be Lord of his heart, his home, and his habits. How can we let Christ be Lord? Well, to start with, let's remember the words that we just read. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so as we consider this morning, I want you to turn, if you would please, back further in the Old Testament, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 28 and verse number 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 9. And I would like to just lay a foundation here, if I could, for just a moment, of what is happening here in this 28th chapter. Look in verse number 1, if you would, so you'll get an idea of what is happening. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies, that ministered to the king by course, and to the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Notice verse number 2. Then David the king stood up upon his feet, and he said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people." And so as David is speaking to all of his leaders, as he has gathered them there together in the city of Jerusalem, David has an announcement to make to them. He first begins to relate to them of his dream, and when I say dream, I mean goal, of his dream to build a house for God. David was not allowed to build a house for God. He tells us why in this 28th chapter. He tells us he cannot do that because he is a man of war. He is a man who has shed blood. So he is disqualified for building a house for God to dwell in upon the earth. However, God does allow him to gather the materials. David gets to raise the funds. He gets to gather the materials. And then he is going to announce at this meeting who will build the house of God. Not only that, he will announce his successor. David knows he's not going to live forever. He's got many sons. He is going to identify for the people, for all of his leaders, who will build the house of God and who will be the next king. He announces to the people that are there that he has chosen Solomon. And let me help you to understand the reason that David has chosen Solomon is because this is God's choice. David is following the instructions of the Lord God. And so as he lays this foundation, as he prepares the leaders, as he prepares the people, then he identifies the one who will lead this great nation when he is gone, the one who will build the house of God. So as he is giving instructions, then he brings it down to his son, Solomon. Look in verse number 9. He speaks to him specifically. He says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." He is speaking directly to Solomon. What is his advice to Solomon who will succeed him? What is his advice that he is giving to the next leader of Israel? Look at it again. Look at verse number 9. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." Do you see here personal relationship? Talk to me. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to understand today that in order to go to heaven, we must personally know the God of heaven. Nobody is going to heaven because their father was the king. Nobody is going to heaven because their father is a preacher. It doesn't work that way. Salvation is a personal relationship with the Lord God. And so the greatest advice that David can give to his son who will lead this great nation is to know God. To know God as he has known God. What does the Bible say about David? The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. David, with his many flaws, was a man of faith. David, with his many issues in life, his many things that he did that were wrong, that were incorrect, had a personal relationship with the Lord God. If you doubt that, go to the 23rd Psalm on your own. Look at those first four or five verses. There is no doubt in my mind that David had a personal relationship with the Lord God, with God the Father. And so the greatest advice that he can give to his son, who will lead this great nation, Solomon, first of all, know God. Know him intimately. Have that personal relationship with God the Father. It does not transfer to the Son just because the Father was a believer. It does not work that way. My friend, in our thinking many times, we think that because we're born in, quote, what we call a Christian nation, or at least we were able to at one time, that we're just automatically a Christian. It does not work that way. You must have a personal relationship with the Lord God. We have to understand that today. We must know him. It matters not how well mom and dad knew the Lord. You must know him intimately yourself. Notice what it says. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart." Give God your heart. Give him your life. Sometimes I think we get confused. Sometimes I think we get a little overboard on grace. And what do I mean by that? And I'm saved by grace this morning, by the grace of Almighty God. But I'm not saved to abuse grace. And let me help you to understand that. I never have a right to abuse grace. With privilege comes responsibility. Now, understand this morning, salvation cost you nothing. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the cost on the cross of Calvary. Salvation is free this morning, but if you are going to live for Jesus, if you are going to serve Jesus, it will cost you something. It will cost you sacrifice. It will cost you giving up some things. It will cost you living a clean life. It will cost you something. To live for Jesus cost you something. And so we have to be prepared for that. We have to understand that today. Yes, salvation is free, but discipleship involves sacrifice. David understood that. He said to serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, and understandeth, and he is a God who understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Notice what he says. Notice the advice he gives to his son. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. What is David saying to his son? David, I believe, is saying to Solomon, Solomon, you must have a personal relationship with the Lord God. The difference between David and us is that David looked forward to a Redeemer who would come. We know who that Redeemer is because he came. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for you and for me so that we might have salvation. David looked forward in faith. We look back to the cross. How do we know the Father? We know the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said of himself when he was upon this earth that he was sent by the Father. He came not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Jesus said of himself that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. There's only one way to God the Father. It is through Jesus Christ the Son. And so thank God this morning we can know God the Father through God the Son. Aren't you glad of that this morning? We have a way back to the Father, and it is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me hasten on to say, if you know Jesus is the way, if the Holy Spirit has knocked on your heart, do not turn him away. Because God says, you will regret it eternally. Notice what he says there in that verse. He says, but if thou forsake him, in other words, you know that Jesus is the way. You know that he's the truth. You know that he's the life. But you reject his free gift of salvation. He will reject you forever and forever and forever throughout eternity. Why in the world would we ever want to spend our existence after we leave this earth in eternity without Jesus Christ? In hell forever and forever and forever. And by the way, yes, hell is real. It is the abode of the unbeliever. Oh, how sad, how tragic this morning. We have to understand there is a consequence for rejecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the only hope. He is the only way. He is the only way that you and I can be saved. What should a father be this morning? What is the first requirement? The first requirement is that a person knows Jesus Christ, that they've invited him into their heart, into their home, and into their habits. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus Christ rule and reign in your heart? Is he the one you're following this morning? I hope so, because he is the only Savior worth following today. So God's first requirement today is to be a believer. Number two, what is the second requirement? I believe that the second requirement that God has for fathers today is to be the spiritual leader in our homes. God requires of us that we be the spiritual leader in our homes. Think about it for just a moment. Who did God speak to in the Garden of Eden to name the animals? It was Adam. He was given that responsibility. When Adam and Eve sinned and God came into the garden, who was he looking for? He was looking for Adam. Why? Because God has order, and God makes the man the spiritual leader of the family. Let me ask you a question this morning. Father, are you the spiritual leader of your home? I hope you are. I hope you are, because that is what God requires of you. Think about it for just a moment. It started with Adam, but Adam was not the only one. Think for just a moment as we think about that idea this morning. when God decided to destroy the earth with a flood, who did he speak to? He spoke to Noah. Did he go to Noah's wife? No, he did not. He spoke to Noah. When the Lord decided to have a special race of people that would be the apple of his eye, who did he speak to? He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Abraham. So we have countless examples over and over and over and over again where God requires that the man be the spiritual leader of the home. We have seen such an attack over the last 50 years on the husband, driving him out of the home. The government says, family, you don't need him. The government has helped to push him out of the way, especially in the black community in America. The government has done the biggest discredit to the American family by pushing dad out of the way, taking him out of the equation. Why? Because he is the instrument that God will use to work in the family. God requires that the husband be the spiritual leader of the family. That is the reason that the father has been under so much attack over and over and over and over again. When God decided to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, who did he speak to? He spoke to Moses, the man of God, the leader of God. When God decided to have a king, who did he speak to? First of all, he spoke to Samuel. And then he spoke to Saul. And then he spoke to David. When God decided to build a church, who did he speak to? He spoke to the apostles. There are no apostolettes. He spoke to the apostles. Men, it's time to put on your big boy britches. It's time to stand. It's time to say, God requires that I be the spiritual leader in the family. I am going to fill that position. God doesn't call wimps, he calls men. And it's time to raise up. It's time to rise up and say, God has called me to be the leader of my home. God has called me to draw a line in the sand. When my wife and I were married, we had a discussion. Both of us came out of broken homes. Both of us come from families that were divorced. And I said, honey, that stops here, and it stops now. There will never be a discussion of divorce. We've discussed murder several times. But never divorce. I hide the insurance policies. God is calling men to be men. God's first requirement in the home is for dad to know God. His second requirement is for the men to be the spiritual leader of the home, to lead in the home, to lead in the church, to lead in the nation. God has order, and he expects us to follow it. There's a third thing that I would like for you to speak about to you briefly this morning. God also requires of a father that he be a man of courage. God wants you to be courageous. God wants you to be the protector of the home. God wants you to be the protector of his church. Men, listen to me this morning. God wants you to rise up. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be the spiritual leader of your home. And He wants you to be fearless. He wants you to be a man of courage. He wants to lead you. Go with me, if you would please, to the book of Joshua, if you would please, in the Old Testament. God has a special assignment for a particular man. That particular man's name is Joshua. God has a job for him to do. Moses is no longer around. Moses has led the children of Israel for 40 years, and now God has removed him from the scene. Because of disobedience, God will not allow Moses to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But he chooses a leader, and that man's name is Joshua. And by the way, the word Joshua means, or the name Joshua means, Savior. So it is going to be Joshua who is going to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land. Notice what he says here in verse number 6 as God is speaking to Joshua. He says to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." How many of you men in this room want to have good success? Stay in God's word. Do not deviate. Do not go to the right. Do not go to the left. Stay in God's word. Verse number 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Dad, do you want to be successful as a dad? Do you want to be successful in your work? Do you want to be successful in your church work? Do you want to be successful as a husband? Do you want to be the leader of your family? Stay in the word of God. Do not deviate. Be a man of courage. I was thinking earlier today about the day when I was ordained into the ministry. What a glorious day that was. What a wonderful day that was. What a privilege to be ordained into full-time ministry. Actually, I was already there for several years, but they just finally figured it out that this guy's real. What a wonderful time that was. But you know what? Since that time, not every day in ministry has been wonderful. There's been times when there's been some great challenges. You see, it's easy to be courageous the day that you're ordained. But what about all those days that come after, in the times of trial, in the times of difficulty, in the times of misunderstanding? Men, you have to know that there are going to be days that are going to be rough. There are times that your wife is going to misunderstand. There are going to be times that when your children are going to misunderstand. And you've got to be a man of courage. Good times, bad times, fun times, difficult times. You've got to be a man of courage. What advice is the Lord God giving to Joshua? Knowing what is beyond Jordan, knowing what is coming. God knows it, Joshua doesn't. God says, be a man of courage. Be courageous. Stand up for the right thing. I am so proud of my president today. I don't care if you like him or not. It doesn't matter to me. He is a man of courage. I believe that he is the Samson of this millennium. Like him, dislike him, it matters not. The man says something, he gets it done. I appreciate that. And I was not for him in the beginning, but he has won me over. Because he is a man of courage. And I appreciate that. I can appreciate a man who does what he says he's going to do. That means a great deal to me. We need to be men of courage. Doesn't mean that everybody's always going to respect us. Doesn't mean that everybody's always going to understand us. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And we need to stand to be men of courage today. God help us. If there's anything the church needs today in 2018, it is godly men who know him, who are leaders in their home, and who are courageous, who take on the enemy, who stand up, who do not run when there's times of difficulty. And it's always tempting. Well, I'll just sit this out. God doesn't want you to sit this out. God wants you to stand. God wants you to stand up and declare the word of God. God wants you to be bold. He wants you to be courageous. How do I know that Joshua was a courageous man? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Turn to the 24th chapter, if you would please, there of the book of Joshua. And we're going to begin to read in verse number 14. Joshua chapter number 24. And we'll begin there in verse number 14. Notice what is happening here. Now, in the early part of the chapter there, God is encouraging him to be a man of courage, to stand up for what is right. Here, Joshua is at the close of his life. He has served the Lord faithfully, and he is addressing the people in basically what is his farewell address. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods, notice the small g, these are false gods, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He is challenging them to be men and women of courage. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, look at this, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was a man of courage. He was courageous. Y'all go ahead and do whatever you want. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me say boldly this morning, do whatever you want. Do whatever you please. You'll face God in judgment. But as for me and my house, I want you to know I will serve the Lord. God wants men and women of courage. He wants men that will stand up and say, yes, I declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the only one that can lead you to heaven. I forsake all the past. I forsake all the tradition of the past. The tradition of my family that perhaps was entrenched in idolatry. That we're following false gods. And let me help you to understand, if anybody puts anyone ahead of Jesus Christ, that is a false god. It matters not who it is. It doesn't matter if it's his mother. It doesn't matter if it's his brethren. They do not come before Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I boldly declare that today. If I need to stand in that baptistry to follow Him, I'm going to do it. And it doesn't matter what grandma and grandpa were in the past. I am gladly going to declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I am one of His followers. I boldly declare that today. Be a man of courage. Stand up for God. Be the man of God. Be what God is calling you to do. God wants you to be a believer, Father. God wants you to be a leader. And He wants you to be a man of courage. Lead your home. Lead your family. And if they won't follow, serve God anyway. It doesn't matter who follows. Serve Jesus Christ. Be His child today. Father, help us. In the quietness of this moment, Lord, if there's anything this nation needs, it's godly men. Lord, we're losing our nation. All because men are not taking the positions in the church that they ought to take. They've been playing games. They've been laying out. They've been tardy. They've been absent. Father, help us today. It's time for Dad to stand up and declare, I am a child of God. I will be the leader of my home. And I will be courageous. I will live for Jesus Christ. I will boldly declare Him before kings and queens. Father, help us today. Help us to be men that will be used of Almighty God. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Please stand.